So, Hare Krishna, I would like to welcome you to this morning session. There will be a new practice waiting for all of us, a wonderful practice which I consider to be very, very deep and absorbing, and I believe that you will take great pleasure in this. I would like to summarize a little bit, or not summarize, to recapture a little bit our morning session, where we felt from the description of the devotees who contributed, very much the immediacy and the power of death. In my own experience, it was quite overwhelming and overbearing, really. And I very much could see when Mother Indrani, who seemed to be our, riding on a white horse, and coming sometimes close to Yamaduta, and then death, and then escaping him again. You have done this many times. On the white horse of your life, you have galloped there, come close to death, and come back again. Many times, I think. We could see a little bit as she was speaking, an old, elderly, experienced Vaishnavi, 84 years, 1 year shy of 85. Almost 84. Good. Fine. We could feel, wow, this is really an issue. I mean, death is really there. Or when Jai Radhe spoke about that horse who just gave her an impolite kick, and how she was falling towards the abyss, and then Krishna saved her. We felt this could even happen to a young person. Where do we find shelter against death? Is there a shelter against death? There's one great devotee of Krishna. His mother Devaki, who addresses this point in her prayers to Krishna. And she really came close to death in a totally traumatic way. Two times she was confronting with death. One was on her day of her marriage. You remember when the devatas alerted Kamsa, who was driving her chariot, by saying, "You fool, Kamsa, you are carrying on your chariot or driving on your chariot she whose eighth pregnancy will kill you." No? The translation, the direct verse is pregnancy, the child. Huh? So then Kamsa grabbed his mighty sword and was in one hand and in the other hand her hair, and was just about to decapitate her. Yeah, no, we need it. Yes, this word. You know. Hätte sie fast geköpft. That was traumatic. I mean, if you feel the sword looming above you. What is it called? Jugular vein? Yes. Oh, you're really good. And then, even more traumatic for a mother who really feels for her children more than she feels for herself. Six of her children were killed by Kamsa. You know, mothers who give birth to their children, they go through an experience of pain which the human, or let me say, the male organism cannot bear. Even to be close to the mother, and for a husband to be close to his wife when she goes through these experiences of pain, makes the strong man faint. There was a book like this. A criminal officer went with his good wife into the hospital to give full support during her first birth can sometimes be quite intense, and he described in a book, I have seen so many scenes which are very shocking in my profession as a criminal officer, but I fainted when I saw this pain. When I saw this pain, I fainted. Even to see it. So how can the woman survive this? Well, she feels in her heart a loving mood, let my child live. And then she can live on through this. A very, very, very great sacrifice. Therefore, in Vedic culture, you say, you can disobey your father, but you can never disobey your mother. Because she went through a lot of physical hardship to give you your body in this world. Yes. So Mother Devaki it speaks from an experience point of view where we find shelter from death. She says, terrified by the serpent of death, the mortal being runs to every corner of the cosmos, but he is unable to find a single place free from fear. That means the serpent of death comes everywhere. But then he says, but if that same mortal being has reached your lotus feet by the will of providence, he rests in peace, O primeval Lord, because even death withdraws from someone who has taken shelter at your lotus feet. So, the fear of death can only be conquered by someone who rests in the sheltering arm of Krishna, or who is Krishna conscious. And we have seen that with many devotees who have died, and just before death, Krishna came to them in a very sweet way, and they found shelter. I think you have heard the many very nice records which are narrated in our movement. So, now it is said in scripture that there are two types of people who actually take shelter, because most of us forget that we die. We don't think about this. We suppress it. No, not me. It happens to other people, but not to me. This is what our mind tells us. So, because only in rare moments like in the sharing session this morning, where we dare to confront death under the able care of Ajahn Siddhi, we did so. We begin to feel, my God, maybe I should surrender. I will also die. But most of the time, the conditioned soul thinks, I will live. Death is not for me. It's just not crossing the mind. It's not there. The mind has a function. It's a button, repress the thought of reality, repress the thought of death. Listen to me. The world is yours. That button is most of the time pressed in us. And that's why we don't surrender. And don't think of shelter, taking shelter like Mother Devaki, who's in the prison, and she says the death all around me, the snake of death just lives together with me in my own room, and it's only a point of time when she bites. You know, in Vrindavan, I had a friend, one Baba, a very good first-class Baba, lived in Vasana, who lived with a snake in his room. And he thought, well, let us be hospitable. The snake was here before I was here, before I came in the room. And one day, he came in after begging, and then the snake bit. Was so bad. So the Baba Baba knew what to do, but he later said he just couldn't break it over his heart. What do you have to do when Vrindavan, a cobra bites you? Take the knife and cut the wound. And throw the flesh out. That's the only thing which you can do. But that's heavy. Oh, Indrani, I'm sorry. Thank you for raising. That's the only thing you can do, but who will do that? He couldn't do it. He did it after 10 minutes and it was too late. He was found next morning with a blue tongue, blackish blue tongue, and he had died from the... That's... Every one of us has that cobra in the room, Jairati. Every one of us has it. And it's only a question of time when she will bite. She doesn't not bite. She's meant for biting. She's there to bite you. Oh, Krishna. So, but because we are expert in the art of repression, we don't take heed now, but there are two types. Still, we can say if someone is intelligent, he will take shelter in the only shelter. And there are two categories of people. You can see where you want to be. The first is someone does not repress any longer the fact, and he becomes aware that there is no other shelter against the six vikaras. What are the six vikaras? It's janma, or to become visible, sata, a momentary existence, briddhi, or growth, and viparinama, deformation, and kshaya, decline, and nasha. Nash, to become invisible or dead. Huh? If you understand this, and I think all of us can understand, do you sometimes look into the mirror? I think when we brush the teeth, we have to look, or when we put the tilak on. Look at you. There are vikaras going on, transformation in that. Going on. You can see that. And that means you will come to this. Anyone who has any of the six transformation, it means he will come to the state nasha. You know what that is. annihilation. So that's the first person who understands, my God, looking in the mirror, I can't deny it any longer. I'm declining. That means there will be death at the end of the road. The other is, and I really like to go into that category with you, someone who only wishes bhakti. This person may still be disturbed by the six inner enemies, lust, greed, anger, and all these. But he says, my Lord, still I am not qualified, but I want you. I think many of us have this, no? That's, I think, our chance, because the other is a little bit the via negativa, but this is the via positiva, and for us Americans and Europeans, that is more appealing. Bhakti, which we want, will not come by our own endeavor. It will come as a gift of Krishna. I think we all understand when we chant, oh, how much we want to chant with love for Krishna. How much we want to chant with bhakti. Yes. My question is, do you think there's anything which can move the Lord to give you bhakti? It's a gift always. What could move him to give you the gift? What? To have a humble heart? Mm-hmm. Advaita Chanda. Mercy or benevolence of other Vaishnavas. Yeah. Om Hrishikesh. Our intense greed could move the Lord. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Oh Prabhuji, take darshan. Pay your obeisances. Pray. Hare Krishna. What could move the Lord to give us the gift of bhakti? Prabhuji, do you want bhakti? What could move Krishna to give it to you? Nice chanting. You have come into an atmosphere where you feel this answer lies in the air. You are perceptive of the morphogenetic field which is created here. Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for coming and giving us the pleasure of your happy smile. Anything. Pleasing Krishna devotee. Then Krishna will feel this person is sincere. Hmm? Mahamaya. Begging Radharani that she pleads our case to Krishna. That's a very wonderful idea. You have to learn to cry, says Gogavinda Maharaj. My dear devotees, your answers are wonderful. You are all right. I was thinking of a verse of which Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Sharanagati, where he answers the question, what moves the heart of Krishna so that Krishna gives this rare gift of bhakti. I will sing this to you, this verse, because it's so nice. Sharanga sharanagati hoibe jahara tara pratana shuni shinanda kumara. Whose prayer does Krishna hear? When does he hear you? The answer is, the prayer of one who submits unconditionally to the sixfold path of surrender. Srinanda Kumar hears the prayer of these persons. You know, in German language we have the difference. There is hören und erhören. Krishna obviously can hear everything, but the word erhören means he hears it and he takes it to heart and he acts upon it. Krishna will hear all the prayers, but he really takes only the prayers to heart and acts and fulfills the prayers of those who practice Sharanagati. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statement. You have to practice Sharanagati. Now, you will be very surprised that those people who want Krishna, who want to practice Sharanagati, there are many ways you can do it. You know the six ways of practicing Sharanagati. But those who want really the essence, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, they take exclusive shelter of the Lord's name. It means those who really want the essence of surrender. Let me read this to you. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, fully surrendered devotees take exclusive shelter of the Lord's name, although there are many other angas of bhakti, that means many other activities of devotional service, 64 altogether, which branch out into unlimited forms. So if a person really wants to practice surrender, he or she takes exclusive shelter of the Lord's name. And this moves the Lord so much so that he is ready to give the devotee his full shelter. The shelter-seeking devotee is accepted, in other words, if he surrenders to the holy name of the Lord. A devotee who does this moves the heart. Because amongst all the devotional activities which are given, chanting the name is glorified the most. Now, I would like to now ask you for a quick show of hands. How could you chant in a surrendered way? What could you do to chant in a surrendered way so that you move the heart of Krishna? And then find ultimately shelter. Sharana means shelter, and gati means to go. If you practice Sharanagati, you want to go to the shelter of Krishna. You have not yet found it, but the path which you do will bring you there. But the question now is, how do you do that when you chant? How do you chant in a surrendered way? Do you understand how this is important? Why this is important? Kosharup, am I clear? Your eyes go up. That means you try to resume the point. Why is he so? Let me make it a little bit more clearer. Krishna reveals himself only engages with someone who approaches him on the road of Sharanagati, looking for shelter. Krishna looks for this. He hears the prayers only if you are looking for shelter. If you do this in an automatic way, he simply doesn't hear it. You could say in American slang English, he doesn't get it, but he get, this would be American slang English, and that's not always the best way. He obviously hears it, but it just doesn't stick to his heart. service, lip service. So when of all the activities which you do, taking shelter the path of Sharanagati moves the Lord to take heart. To take you to the heart. Now, how do you chant with Sharanagati? This is the question. What do you do? It's a good question, isn't it? It's the question. Anyone, the Dulal Chandra.
In 144, Prabhupada says, to be serious, to be sincere, and to have no ulterior motive.
Be serious and sincere and have no ulterior motives. This is how I take very, very good. But how do you do this when you chant? You just somehow you have the sincere switch. I will look at your questions because if you understand this, Prabhupada, you can just go to sleep and next morning be a pure soul. It's hogya. Your work is done. Okay, in this answer, Hari Prasad moves to the six angas of Sharanagati, starting with accepting what is favorable to your chanting, and rejecting what is unfavorable. Could you be very concrete? How would you accept what is favorable to your chanting? What do you do?
You make it a conscious meditation that I'm going to give up poor habits like falling asleep while chanting japa, or eating too much or thinking of other
Thank you very much. You really think what is favorable to chanting it, whatever is unfavorable you remove, and what is favorable you accept. Good. Poor habits and so on. Chanting with Sharanagati, what do you do? But not if you know this, please, not what I'm going to say. By the way, the snake of death is coming. Someone is, he's coming for someone. Don't forget, it's unsecure. Maybe it's one of us here in the rooms. Yeah. No planning, no anxieties, just give it to Krishna. I surrender to the chanting. If there's anything to take care of, Krishna will do.
When we chant to actually vocalize it to Krishna, that, like you were saying, I think it was yesterday you were giving that Krishna Tomarahan Jayumala Ekabhavit. I'm yours. I don't want anything material. I'm yours. I surrender to you. I don't want anything else.
Wonderful. Here is a mood which is expressed in Chaitanya Charitamrita of the surrendered soul. I'm yours, Krishna. I don't want anything else now. No? And don't want anything material. We will have one more, I think, Mother Indrani. Yes, please. Mother Indrani, your answers, they stick with me for the rest of my life. Mother Indrani says, you just cry. No? Yes. My dear devotees, I would like to request you will have to now concentrate a little. We will really make a fast tour through our philosophy. And we all know there are six angas or limbs of surrender. Now, What you have said is all right, but I will give you now very, very, very something which will surprise your answer. There are six limbs of devotional service, and they, according to Jiva Goswami, one of them is the principal limb, and all the others follow that limb. Do you know what that is? Yes, Advaita Chanda. Krishna is the maintainer. Gop-tritvivaranam. Krishna is our maintainer. Now, this is the essence of the practice of Sharanagati. You think Krishna is your God. Now, when you chant in the mood of Sharanagati, that is, you're walking towards his Sharanam, towards his shelter, you will think of him as your maintainer, and you will cry out to him like a child cries for the mother. You have read this many times in Prabhupada's works, we should chant like the child. This is what Prabhupada says to this. And this means, philosophically speaking, you practice your chanting in a mood of surrender by accepting Krishna as your only maintainer, which happens to be the core practice of the sixfold path of surrender, which is really the essence of it. Everything is expressed in there. This taking shelter is, by the way, something which you also do when Krishna doesn't answer in a way you would like him to answer. There's this very nice verse which we all have heard from the Tribhangi Panchakam of Rupa Goswami's Stava Mala. Virachayama idandam dinabandhu dayangva. Virachayama idandam dinabandhu dayangva. Gatiyeha nabhavata kachidam yamamasti. Nipatatu shata koti nibaramva navambas. Tarabhikila payoda stuyate chatakena. O dinabando. Whether the clouds pour down a shower of water on the thirsting Chataka birds, or hurl lightning bolts at them, the Chataka birds never tire of propitiating the clouds, for they have no other recourse. Similarly, whether you are merciful to me or punish me, I have no support in this world other than you. You may do as you like. So this bird knows the clouds are my only source of water. They can save me from dying of thirst. And I will now go to the cloud, even if the cloud sometimes appears to put an obstacle on my path by hurling a thunderbolt towards me. I will still go in this direction because I understand there is simply no other shelter for me in this world. I want bhakti. I have unfavorable sanskara still in me. But I am on my way. I know I can only get bhakti here at the lotus feet of Krishna. Nothing else can satisfy me any longer. A devotee takes Krishna as his maintainer, like the little child who knows the parents have food for me. Even if mother is angry at me, then I will have to still go because I cannot eat anywhere else than at home. It's not possible for me. In Kirtan, which is one way of chanting the holy name, there is a concept of nritya and lutan, which means dancing and rolling on the ground. So here is how Kirtaniya, a Kirtan devotee, takes shelter as he sings the holy name. Alas, he says, I have passed so many days engaged in fruitive activities, sense gratification. I have acted so many days according to my intelligence, my own intelligence. By all this, I have fallen away from Jagat Pita and Jagat Mata, the father of the universe and the mother of the universe. I have fallen away, but I have not been able to end my misery. Therefore today, I behave like a child and dance with abandon as I raise my arms aloft. When the child wants to be taken up by the father or mother, it will draw attention and then put the arms like this. Then I cry and roll about in the dust. Just see. Would Krishna not be merciful and take me into his own laps? Well, how a devotee feels when he surrenders. He calls out to Krishna as his maintainer. That's what he does. You have what I only need you. I've seen this. I really need you. This is an exclusive mood in the devotee. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has expressed this crying Chaitanya Bhagavat. He has said, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga Dhana, Bhakti E Krishna Namira, Smarana Krandana Krandana. I think you hear from the Bengali. Krandana, it means already kids crying, huh? If you want to attain the treasure of bhakti, you have to remember Krishna's name, means chant, and bitterly weep from the depths of your soul for his mercy. Still, we are not satisfied when we hear this. We think in our mind, oh, this crying, I just can't, it's nice. We hear from Gaur Govinda Maharaj, yes, he can do it. He is an exalted Vaishnava. But me, I cry only when I cut myself in my finger. In other words, out of self-pity I cry, but I don't cry for God. This is impractical talk, and I agree. We should do something, we should know of a practice which is not so exalted when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We should know of a practice which brings us there so that we can cry or intensely plead for Krishna. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he describes this practice which I would like to do with you. But I hope it's not too much philosophy. Philosophy is not too much talk for you, that you switch off. Do I have your attention? I'm trying now to say, to do something which is to give an explanation which is which is practical for us, where we can, you know, something where we can really chant with Sharanagati. I feel Prabhupada has said we should chant like a child who cries for his mother, and Mahaprabhu has said this, and the scripture, the Goswamis say it, but who does this nowadays? We need to have something practical. You know, we have paid Lakshmi to come to this Japa retreat level 3, and it's all right to hear all this high-sounding philosophy, but we now want to get to work. It's a workshop after all. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he puts a simple logic forward. If you go to your maintainer, you go to where he lives, his home. When we go to our parents, we go and we have some serious concern, we will go to where they live, isn't it? You know, when there's something which we really need to talk about, we can't talk about it in the telephone and in the email. We really need a heart-to-heart talk. We want $100,000 from them for our new apartment. You know, so we need to see them. What is it about? Why do you want to travel all this? I can't tell you on the phone. You know, we go to where they live. So if someone wants to sincerely surrender to Krishna as his maintainer, he will go to Krishna's home, the holy dham. You know, when there was this problem in the universe that there were too many demons ruling the universe, Brahma took Mother Bhumi to Svetadvip, a place where the Lord resides within this universe. He didn't stay on the top of Mountain Meru, where his office is, or in Satyaloka, where his residential quarters lie. You know, he left and moved towards the dham. So Sharanagati is a gati. Gati means to go forward to the place where you find shelter, and you do that. You Vaishnavas who want to surrender do this by going to the holy dham of Lord Krishna. They go to Vrindavan dham. Either they do this by moving with some transport there, or they do it in their minds. They move towards Vrindavan because they know they will find Krishna in the holy dham. Tavasmiti vadanvacha tataiva manasa vidan tatstanamashritastanva modate sharanagata. One whose body is fully surrendered takes shelter at that holy place where Krishna had his pastimes. And he prays to the Lord, "My Lord, I am yours." Understanding this with his mind, he enjoys spiritual bliss. My dear devotees, if you really want to meet Nam Prabhu, then go to where the Yamuna flows. Go to the bank. Think of a holy place. Situate yourself in your mind there and declare to Krishna in that opportune atmosphere, "I am simply yours." Then move on to what we heard in the first day and where you mildly protested, some of you, and be happy in your mind. Very important. Surrendered soul should be happy. Oh, happy. He enjoys spiritual understanding this in with understanding this with the mind and joy, spiritual bliss. And this is what a surrendered soul does. When you surrender to Krishna, when you give over your life into the hands of the Lord, if you really do it, you will be blissful. You will be relieved. You will feel signs of deep satisfaction. And then pronounces to Krishna, "My Lord, I am yours." Just this little practice, chanting from that space, "My Lord, I am yours." Chanting with a sense of relationship, sambandha, jnana, will move the Lord, because it's a practice of sharanagati, a practice of taking shelter. If you want to study this in your own reading time, kindly go to Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 10, where you will find this verse, which I again want to read to you. "One whose body is fully surrendered takes shelter at that holy place where Krishna had his pastimes. And he prays to the Lord, 'My Lord, I am yours.' Understanding this with his mind, he enjoys spiritual bliss." I would like to now make a practice out of it. I would like to do this now with you. It seems to me that you are a little tired. Am I correct? Or would you like that we do, well, what is a very simple way to wake you up is, please just take your arms like this in a gesture of surrender. By the way, this is also a yoga asana. And bring your arms back. Let your shoulder blades touch each other and talk to each other. You know, the further you bring it back, and then you have to really stretch your arms. And now I request you to chant very loudly with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Continue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Under no circumstances bring your arms down. Under no circumstances. Let us continue, but now not so loud. Now we want to really listen and not go on. Chant normally like you do. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hands up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hands up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Straight arms, straight. Concentrate on chanting. Arms go back, shoulders, blades touch. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. You can do it, you can do it. Arms up. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Full concentration on the mantra. Forget about your arms, but keep them up. Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. One more mantra and then you can bring your arms down. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Yes, kindly bring your arms down. So now it's easier for us to meditate or to be silent. I would request you to remember a holy place of your choice in Vrindavan. Those of us who have not visited Vrindavan, you have seen pictures, maybe of Vasana, or Govardhan, Radha Kund. Those who have visited had maybe sometimes a quiet minute where they sat and just appreciated the holy Dham, maybe in Keshigat at the Yamuna. Maybe at Radha Kund, when all the pilgrims who come for the day have left again and the Kund is peaceful. Maybe on a Govardhan Parikrama. We will sing now the Maha Mantra, and your task is to just be a little bit inside your mind, visit Vrindavan with your mind, and then sing from that holy place of your choice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yesterday we heard about connecting with the present by concentrating our attention on one mantra. And we had done practices in the hall about this, being mindful, being concentrated. Now, this being connected has also a devotional dimension. Yesterday we had for beginning just to be connected, you know, with our activities and what we do. But this is more mind control. Today we learn how to be connected through Sharanagati. And the first thing is you want to connect while you chant with Krishna. And Krishna you find in the holy Dham. You don't find Krishna. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He is in a spiritual dimension, in other words. So going in the mind to holy Dham helps. That's step one. Step two, what a surrendered soul does is he declares in his mind to Krishna, I am yours. We have a relationship. There is a... Jayashree, do you still have that book, Naam Rahasya, with you? There is a prayer which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, and I would like to read to you a very, very nice devotional English translation of this prayer. 14. It's quoted in the book Naam Rahasya on page 14. It's really an expression, I am yours. You have heard it many times, but I will read it to you again in this beautiful translation. O son of Nanda, Krishna, king of the country of love, I appeal for your affection. I am your servant. I feel deep within myself that I have some connection to you. I am subordinate to you, but somehow I am now in adverse circumstances. There are so many enemies within me trying to take me away from you. Therefore, I cannot give my full attention to you and your name. At the same time, I feel from the deepest place in my heart that you are my master. You are all and everything to me. My heart will never be satisfied without your companionship. So I appeal to you. I am under unfavorable circumstances. I am suffering. And without your grace, I do not find any relief for my present imprisoned condition. This sincere appeal of an honest chanter quickly reaches the ear and heart of the Lord, who then responds to him by making himself available in the holy name. So, here's the practice, and I request you to take your japamala. Gently stay in that place in which you are now, please. A stay means in that consciousness. If you wish, remember a holy place of your choice. And then, just as you chant in the mood, I'm yours, Krishna. Be relaxed in your mind. Be happy that you are in the right place and that you have the right relationship, and chant from there. Holy Dham, I'm yours, and be satisfied with this. Don't aspire for something else. So please, we will chant a little, and I will give you I think we will chant two rounds now. Actually, one round, because for some time reason. One round we will chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Again, continue to chant. The idea is to be in a holy place, to declare to Krishna, I'm yours, make connection. If it's difficult to make a connection, look at the deities, please. And just know you're in the right place and the right relationship. There's the forest of Vrindavan in the background, the sound. Hare Krishna, I suggest we chant one more round. It's so nice to chant. Again, if you want to experience the chanting of a surrendered soul, according to Krishna's Kaviraj, Vrindavan, your relationship with Krishna, and just rest in this with a content mind. Hare Krishna, I want to thank you very, very much. Please take the wisdom of this workshop into your life. The surrendered soul chants Hare Krishna, and while chanting, he chants it with a sense of relationship with Krishna, and explains to him, I'm yours. That's the essence of surrender in chanting. Hare Krishna. I'm very happy with your question. I think it is a very important question. Let us be now a little analytical. we all have seen, it's called in psychology association. You know, we hear Vrindavan, and with that sound we associate something which we have seen or which we have heard. Just like when I would now say the word pizza, if we all have a picture, most of devotees at least have relished pizzas, regardless from which country they come. So this is a functioning of the mind. It's a normal functioning, and it is not, you know, it's this functioning works also when we try to be in Vrindavan. We associate something with Vrindavan which we have seen or heard about. It is a psychological function. But it is a good function which will bring us hopefully to be with Krishna, and it's a start. But these are props. They are not yet the real things, the real thing. We should not think they are necessarily revelations. I have now seen Krishna or Radha. That is possible on an exalted state of bhakti, which many of us are still aspiring to achieve. But, you know, to remember Krishna, not forget him, that is the essence of all devotional practices. So that is helpful to think to so that you can relate and connect to what you are doing. It is, let me say, it is best if when you do these things, you allow the impressions which you have gained from Shastra to come, because they are real, more real than the fabrications and endless combinations of thoughts in the mind. No? Therefore, we try to do it on the basis of Shastra. But after having answered in such a cautionary way, which I feel is important, so that we do not enter the world of kalpana or just imagination, even if it's based on the Shastra and so on, I want to say that if you want to increase your chanting, you have to somehow, or go deeper in your chanting, you have to be mindful of the person whose name you chant. With Krishna, we hear Krishna comes not alone. It's a whole world of Krishna which comes along. So, in this japa retreat, it's my desire to and other facilitators desire to show the wealth of our tradition, to show the possibility, the golden opportunity, and to point the way and to encourage devotees to go some steps, baby steps in the way. These baby steps will be tottering, but you have to somewhere start, and then you will have a steady gait after some time. They're beginning steps of absorbed chanting. They are sometimes there, we remember, and then it's gone. It's Jiva Goswami describes that's the first stage of thinking of Krishna. An impression comes, a thought comes, and then it's gone. It's a step, but it's a beginner step, and we should not call beginner steps the highest advanced practice. Then we deceive ourselves of the many things which are yet to come. I would recommend you to, as you go into these in the retreat, and you will hear many new things based from Shastra and practices based on Shastra, it's always good to practice your Krishna consciousness on the level on which you presently are. We will stretch that level now a little bit because we level three, you know, we go do things which we may not be, we will stretch ourselves a little bit, but in actual practice, you should always come back to the level where you are, and not go with practices which are above the present level in your life. I would be happy if you leave this retreat with one, with a few simple realizations, which I will tell you at the end. You know, it's designed, you practice and practice, and at the end, I will tell you what you have practiced and sound so arrogant. I want to say, I will summarize and then you will see it. This worked for me. Oh yes, this worked for me. And then you can practice those and take them. But thank you very much for your question. It's a very, very, very good question. And I think we who are following Bhakti in the footsteps of our exalted Srila Prabhupada, and with him, his spiritual master, we are, we should keep always a cautionary eye on these things and see them as they really are, not imagine something to be. Yes, good.
Yes. May I have a follow-up question? So then the question arises in my mind, so then what is exactly the distinction? How do you distinguish between revelation and just association or imagination? How do you know the difference?
Including sentiment. So, including sentiment. So one is visual impressions, one's also feelings.
Association is, on a very simple answer, association is a mental construction. It's a functioning of the mind. You go from one thought, then you go for another to another. I want to give you an example. Once there was a blind man who heard about the advantage of drinking milk. So his friend, but he never saw milk, and nor had he drunken milk. So his friend told him, milk is a white substance. What's a white substance? White, said the friend, is the color of the plumage. Plumage means feathers, right? Of a crane. What is a crane? Said the blind man. The friend realized, my God, he has never seen a crane. And then he said, here, grab my arm. Then you know how the neck of the crane is. It's a bird with this neck. So the blind man goes, aha. And now his mind goes, that's milk. No, I never drink milk. That stucks in my throat and I choke. So the process of association is you take your mind, your thoughts, what you have learned in this world, you combine that and make a picture from it, which is necessarily always wrong because Krishna is transcendental to this world. Now revelation is something else. It comes from above. It's from, we call it the descending process. And it comes through Shastra, through Shabda. And then when you think of the content of the Shastra, then this is, I don't say this is the full revelation. You remember what you have heard and you might also have a wrong understanding, but it's the beginning of remembering Krishna. The ultimate revelation is happening when there is an ingression of the Bhakti Shakti, which is composed of the Samvit and the Chladini Shakti, and it enters your heart like a ray of sunshine and brings to you the spiritual subject matters, and the result is your heart will blossom like a lotus which is touched and awakened to life by the rays of the sun. You know, that is the descending process. Now, do you understand that, Purusha Prabhu, as I'm trying to explain the difference between revelation, I really have, and imagination, we really have three subjects here, not two subjects. One is imagination, the blind man example. The other is hearing from scripture. And, you know, and of course our mind will associate. You know, when you give a lecture, you talk about something, then you remember a verse which you have heard. Okay, you remember that verse, it has a key word for you, your mind goes to another word. This is the normal process. But it is alright, it is spiritualized because you take shastic information. That's the beginning when your mind starts to think of Krishna. You go by the guideline of the Shastra, who is like a bright torch ray in the darkness of your life. You follow the light of the torch and you come to places where you have not come without the torch. But the real revelation, it's called it's the three types of revelation, Spurti, Vispurti, and another type. They are something which really comes, the scriptures say, as if a dream. It's not a dream because the dream is still coming from the field or the morast or the lake of your consciousness. But Spurti is coming inside from an outside source, and Visputi is, there is a subtle differentiation which we don't need to go into at this stage. So what we can, when we follow scriptures and follow the path which the scriptures tell us, we are on the safe ground with our associating process, you know, we are purified, we are following the purified path. And we readying ourselves, you know, we become purified by this so that one day when if the Lord desires, He appears in our heart. Mm-hmm. So it's really three things which we're talking about.
Thank you. Thank you. We are out of time. Anybody has a burning question? A couple of announcements, okay?
Do you have any tips? You asked us to kind of meditate on the idea that Krishna, I'm yours, and that implies relationship. If, you know, obviously we're trying to think about our being as a service to Krishna, the Lord. Yet there is a relationship, so I was just wondering if you had some tips as to how we could think about ourselves in this kind of meditation.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very, very nice, nice is not the word, a very concrete meditation. And if you allow me, I will just read this to you. I'm an atomic particle of consciousness and the eternal servant of Krishna. So, this is the first thing. You know I'm small, but I'm a servant of Krishna. What exactly my identity is yet to be revealed. Second is, Krishna, the infinite conscious entity and my only master. And the third is, the material world is the prison house that is meant to reform my truant tendencies. We had this on the first day. So you just, this sounds maybe a little abstract, atomic consciousness, servant of Krishna, woo, where am I going here? You know, you just in a normal way think, well, I belong to you, my Lord. You belong to me. I'm your part. You can have, you know, this simple, if you are a visual person, you can remember the example of the leaf, which is a part of a tree. You can have this picture, or your spark in the fire. You have to see how you can relate to this, you know, how it sings to you. I'm just always, I'm thinking personally, you know, when I think of this, I personally think I'm your lost servant, you know, I'm just lost somewhere. And I remember that situation when I was small and my mother and me went to this huge, huge entertainment park and I got lost. First I pretended everything was all right. I had money and I spent it on the different entertainment situations. But then I after 1 hour of amusing myself, I understood I have a big problem. Mother is not there. You know, and then I really began to, it was the feeling of an abandoned child, you know, and that for a child, this tragedy. I was very attached to mother, so I sat down somewhere and just really, then someone found me, and then there was a big loudspeaker system, lost child, you know, is dressed with short leather pants. That's what we dressed in Germany. The wild children had little short pants made from leather, so that, you know, they were so sturdy. You could fall everywhere. You could put your leather on a tree. You would put this on a little tree, and you would hang there upside down. This was a very sturdy pen, you know, it would never tear, you know, so the really wild children would always get the leather pants in Germany. So I had one, and I was described to the boy with leather pant and green sweatshirt is crying for his mother. Would the mother please come and collect her boy? You know, so I feel that this is very much in me. I'm sitting here in this world chanting, and I'm really lost. I'm your part, and we have a relationship. So whatever helps. I'm fearing that time is also there, and you put your question in the refrigerator. It will last. It will not become rotten or damaged. Yes.